You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Unidentified human remains pose a major dilemma for investigators and families as cases run cold and questions remain unanswered. And while experts work to identify those who passed, many times these answers come years or decades later, sometimes not at all. For decades, the Human Identification Lab at Chico State has been working to solve these mysteries and bring closure to loved ones. Work that's taken the team into the heart of natural disasters, from wildfires to hurricanes, and to the battlefields of World War II. Joining us now are Director Ashley Kendall and Forensic Anthropologist Colleen Milligan. Welcome to Insight.
Hi, Vicky. Thank you for having us.
Well, I want to get started just by learning more about the both of you. What got you two into this line of work? Colleen?
I will say that I began towards this particular field as an undergraduate at Marquette University in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I was interested in anthropology as a major, and I was interested in criminology and law studies. The field of forensic anthropology combines both of those fields in a way that helps with investigative sciences. And I continued that track as I started my graduate education at Michigan State University.
How about you, Ashley?
Similar to Colleen, I discovered forensic anthropology in my undergrad. I went to the University of Michigan, which didn't have a program in forensic anthro. So I actually started out thinking I wanted to pursue forensic pathology and took an osteology class that focused on the human skeleton and fell in love with it.
How long has the Human Identification Lab been around, and really, why was it started at Chico State, Ashley?
Sure. So the Chico Identification Lab has been around for a little over 50 years. This is our 51st year. And the program itself was started by Dr. Turan Murad in the 1970s. And 50 years ago, we had a really, really small caseload. We would receive maybe 1 to 10 cases per year. And over the last 50 years, our casework has grown exponentially. We now receive around 120 to 150 cases per year that cover about 90% of the counties in California. And a lot of that is attributed to the fact that of the forensic anthropologists that are in the lab, both Dr. Milligan and myself, we have Dr. Bartling, Dr. Plemons, and Dr. Willey. Four of us are post-certified, which is peace officer standards and training, and we teach all of the new detectives throughout the state of California in a homicide investigation course how to utilize forensic anthropological services and what we can do as far as forensic archaeological excavation in homicide investigations.
Wow, so it's grown a lot over the decades. I mean, you serve, as you said, about 90% of counties. Is there anything like this lab at Chico State, or is it just unique to California or the West Coast?
This is a lab that is largely unique to the West Coast. There are labs like ours across the country. You have ones that are large at the University of Tennessee. They're well known for what we say is the body farm. You also have labs in the Midwest as well as Texas. Chico State's Human Identification Lab is the largest forensic anthropology lab at a university west of the Rockies. Part of the reason we serve as much of the state as we do is because of the number of professionals that we have associated with our lab.
Colleen, what kind of large-scale responses have you been involved in?
Personally, on my end, most of our last really two decades of work have been related to California's wildfires. We respond to wildfires across the state as well as responding in 2023 in Maui for the wildfire that was there. What we do with these responses is assist on the recovery and the identification of human remains and victims from these large-scale events. In my background, all of us have previous experience with sort of mass fatality events. Mine started in graduate school as I was on a fellowship with Department of Homeland Security working on mass fatality policy development. And that included looking at some of the later stages of Hurricane Katrina in Louisiana at that time.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, those are just major disasters. Ashley, have you worked with responses like these as well?
Actually, my first response was the 2018 California campfire. I had just started at Chico State in 2017. So prior to that, I hadn't had any mass fatality response in my past. So I've learned a lot over the last 10 years. And unfortunately, on an almost annual basis now, our lab is deployed to do mass fatality response for fires.
Ashley, what goes into processing a case? I would imagine one is unlike the other, but if you can help us visualize the work that you and Colleen do.
Yeah, absolutely. So, depending on the types of cases we get, we focus on cases that have that we can get information from the human skeleton, as I mentioned. We often interface with sheriff coroner's offices, medical examiner's offices, and our main focus in our lab predominantly comes from helping to make identifications on remains that are not visually identifiable. We also get a lot of requests for trauma analysis, so helping the forensic pathologist or the sheriff coroner make determinations as to cause and manner of death based on interpretations in the bone of things like sharp force trauma or projectile trauma or blunt force injuries.
And I would imagine the time frame to identifying remains, it can vary greatly depending on the circumstances surrounding this person's death.
It does, yes. It really depends our time frame on the type of case. We sometimes will get a single skeletal element and we are tasked with what is it? Is it human? Is it non-human? We can do those types of cases very, very quickly. However, if we do get more complicated cases that are fragmentary or are burned, as are the case with the wildfire decedents, those cases can oftentimes span a couple of weeks in order to process and then do a full analysis for that case.
Colleen, are there some assumptions or stereotypes that people might have about your field of science? I mean, I would imagine a lot of people might think of like CSI or NCIS, but I would imagine your work is different than a TV show.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that as we teach at a university, we get asked a lot by students in terms of how closely our work resembles what you see on TV. And I would say that most of the time, the misconceptions that we are dealing with have to do with either the number of tools that we have available or the time that it will take us. A lot of times on TV, when you see different types of investigations, you see that they sort of have a black box. Tools where you have just about everything that you can think of that would apply to analyzing, let's say, remains available to them. And in reality, you're based on what the lab types of cases are and the technology that you have available to you. Also, as Ashley mentioned, cases, while the processing and the investigation of the case might take a couple of weeks' time. Sometimes the case going from that stage to court can be years.
Wow. Yeah, that is just a long time and a long commitment to identifying remains. Who funds all of this work at the Human Identification Lab at Chico State?
So currently, all of our work done in-house is we fund it by our case funds. We don't have any funds that come from Chico State or the CSU system. We were very fortunate, and then we have state funds that we are going to be opening a new building in 2027. But up until this point in time, we are completely self-funded.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Ashley Kendall and Colleen Milligan from Chico State's Human Identification Lab. One of your recent work involved the identification of service members killed in World War II. Before we dive into that, how did you get connected with the federal government? Because you're working with the Department of Defense, correct?
Correct. One of the major employers for our field in the US is actually the Department of Defense. If there are 200 or so forensic anthropologists across the US, about half of those are employed by the Department of Defense. They run two very large labs, one in Honolulu, Hawaii, and one in Omaha, Nebraska, for identification of service members killed in foreign wars in particular. There are so many service personnel that are still unaccounted for that even with having that many of us employed by a single entity, that workload requires a much larger cooperation with agencies and universities to help locate and ultimately recover, hopefully, those that are unaccounted for. That's where we came in. Like a number of years ago, the Department of Defense started to provide outreach to partnering with private organizations and universities to help in recovery efforts for service personnel. And we were one of the universities, along with our partner colleagues at Alta Archaeological Consulting Firm, for one of those recovery operations.
Yeah, one of those operations involved recovering of an airman's remains from Poland, and you traveled there. How does a case like this from decades ago, how does that affect the work that you're doing when it comes to trying to identify this individual? Does it become more complicated because of how much time has passed, Colleen?
Yes, something that is from, let's say, World War II, because of how much time has passed between the event itself and when recovery operations are able to be initiated for various reasons, that really kind of complicates the recovery picture that you're looking at. Not only do you have an event like, let's say, a plane crash, which may fragment remains, make it more difficult to recover in the first place, but then you have time that passes. Areas develop, they change. You have different activities that occur in the same location, that all of which makes it not only more difficult to find, but also recover.
Mm. And Colleen, who ultimately does the identification? What is the Human Identifications Lab role in a case like this?
In a case like this, different from what we would do with our normal casework, in a case like this, our role is simply to assist on the field recovery side of this particular operation. Forensic anthropologists at the Department of Defense's labs will be the ones that are responsible for the actual identification of service personnel recovered from these contexts.
Mm, I see. Yeah, and they recently identified that individual. Colleen, you traveled to Poland, correct? Can you help us visualize what this field work looks like?
Sure. We traveled to Poland in August of 2019. And in an operation like this, what you're looking at for our purposes is really a large area where it's been identified that this is the last known location for a downed plane during World War II. And so for us, it is about excavating this using archaeological techniques to look at what is really going to be evidence of both the plane and potentially missing service personnel in what would be subsurface context. So things that would be buried through time.
Hmm. Ashley, I'm curious. I mean, this work is very intense. It's emotional. You're providing also closure to loved ones. How do you process or compartmentalize the work that you do?
That's a great question. I think for a lot of us, that compartmentalization is just such an important facet of what we do. And that a lot of what we see are cases of, they're your homicide cases, but they're always decedents that have families and that have loved ones. And I think for me, it's really important to keep the focus on what we're doing and the skill set that we have and what we can offer to the loved ones that remain. So that's how it helps me compartmentalize and just keep my mind on this, what I'm trying to do and what the end goal is, rather than what potentially happened to a decedent.
How about you, Colleen?
I would say it's very similar to what Ashley said. Most of the time when we're in the field or when we're operating on a case, you're focused on the task at hand and you have a very real way to really assist both victims and their families through what your investigation can find. And so in that moment, your focus is your job. And really, I think for most professionals that work in any kind of context like this, especially in death investigation, what you think of for how you connect to your community, how you connect to thinking about victims and their families maybe comes later after your work is complete.
Ashley and Colleen, thank you so much for taking time with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Ashley Kendall and Colleen Milligan are with the Human Identification Lab at Chico State. It is the largest forensic anthropology lab west of the Rockies, working with unidentified remains from large-scale disasters like the Camp Fire to the battlefields of World War II. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.